Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Let's go to Stormont first this afternoon, where in the last few minutes, Northern Ireland's newly elected MLAs have gone through the motions of voting for a new Speaker of the House. It all came to nothing, of course, because the DUP refused to cooperate in protests at what it sees as a lack of progress on the Northern Ireland Protocol. In a moment, I'll speak to the DUP MLA and Northern Ireland's acting Economy Minister, Gordon Lyons. But first, let's hear what the other parties had to say within the last hour.
Mr. Speaker, this is our hour of decision. Not tomorrow, and not for a moment longer, can the DUP deny democracy, punish the public, and boycott this Assembly and Executive, and prevent us from putting money into people's pockets.
To turn up here, to sign in, to take salaries and refuse to take seats is a slap in the face for every family that struggles to make ends meet. And I would appeal to the DUP to think long and hard before they insult the electorate by doing so today.
Silence. The same silence we were subjected to for 3 years when Sinn Féin walked out. The same silence we're now going to be subjected to if the DUP don't support a Speaker. People will go cold and hungry in their homes, and from this place there will be silence.
The DUP, a party which has the word democratic in its name, has decided to thwart democracy today. Not only are they thwarting democracy, they're demeaning democracy. They are demeaning the entire process that all of us have spent the past 6 weeks engaging.
And they're the voices of Michelle O'Neill from Sinn Féin, Naomi Long of the Alliance, Doug Beattie of the UUP and Matthew O'Toole of the SDLP. Acting Economy Minister Gordon Lyons of the DUP, good evening to you.
Good evening.
You were present, you heard there an awful lot of criticism towards the DUP for the stance you took. You could have elected a Speaker today. You could have gotten the as much of the Assembly up and running as possible to help the people of Northern Ireland with all the crises they face. Why did you not do so?
Well, first and foremost, we keep our word to the electorate. Myself, along with my other DUP colleagues, have just been elected. We have a mandate, and we said that it would not be business as usual at the Assembly, and that we would not enter into an executive until the issues that we're facing with the protocol are dealt with. And we have a very clear mandate on that basis. Not a single unionist MLA supports the protocol, and either we have power sharing in Northern Ireland on the basis of cross-community consent, or we do not. And that is fundamentally the issue that we have right now. This issue needs to be brought to a head. As a party, we have been exceptionally patient over the last number of years. Last September time, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson set out his approach as to how to deal with this, and this is the outworking of it, and it was endorsed. And that is why we've been returned to Stormont.
So okay, but can I put it to you that it's simply undemocratic what you're doing? It's you're after an election. You have a mandate, certainly, but you're a minority when it comes to the elected MLAs who are in favour of the protocol. Over about 60% of the newly elected MLAs want the Northern Ireland protocol as it is. What you're doing is simply undemocratic, is it not?
Well, first of all, nearly all of the MLAs have, some of them are slow learners, but have come around to the fact that problems do exist with the protocol. Sinn Féin, the SDLP and the Alliance were once calling for its rigorous implementation, but now they recognise there are problems and that that needs to be changed. So we have our mandate, we operate on the basis of our mandate, and you point out that we're a minority, but that does not mean that our voices don't matter, and it doesn't mean that our mandate doesn't matter. In fact, in Northern Ireland, the successes that we have had over the past 25 years have been on the basis of working together and cross-community support for what takes place.
So why not do that now in the Assembly?
Just because we are a minority does not mean that our views are not important or that they don't count.
That goes without question, but why not then make politics work and get into the Assembly?
It doesn't, because you have asked the question. You've essentially said you're only a minority, so therefore you shouldn't be taking the action that you have taken. We believe that this issue needs to be dealt with, that it needs to be brought to a head, and I'm unapologetic in wanting to put that pressure on the UK government and the EU to move this issue forward.
I didn't put it in those terms, but the facts remain. We are after, just after an election, days after an election, and you are a minority. And what you are doing is you are telling the majority of MLAs who want to proceed with the Northern Ireland Protocol as it is, you want London to intervene and adapt or scrap parts of an international agreement.
So because we're a minority, that means our views don't count, or that we shouldn't take the action that we think is necessary. I'll put it to you this way. If there was, instead of a border right now in the Irish Sea, but if there was a border on the island of Ireland, I do not think that that would be a recipe for political stability. What we're facing right now are control posts, checks, and the potential for charges to bring goods from Great Britain into Northern Ireland. Now, imagine for a second that there were control posts all along the Irish border. Imagine that you were charged for bringing goods from one side of the border to the other. Imagine that goods were checked going from one side to the other. Do you believe, even if there is a majority in the Assembly for that, do you think that that would be the basis for nationalists to take part in that way? Or do you think that that would need to be dealt with? I think most of your listeners would realise that that is not a recipe for political stability. And that's what we are seeking to address. The EU have come to realise there are issues with the protocol. The UK government have done the same, and the other parties. We have been consistent on this right from the start. We need to see action. We have heard many promises and many good words from the EU and from the UK government. The time for words is over. I just wonder,
are you being used as pawns again by Boris Johnson, who has no intention whatsoever to change the protocol? I just really wonder if you're being taken, and I say this respectfully to you, Gordon, if you're being taken for fools by Boris Johnson.
Well, we're not putting any trust in the words of anybody else. We're looking for actions, and we're working to ensure that we get the changes to our current setup that we need in order to restore our place within the UK internal
market.
And
he may not, because it risks reputational damage to the United Kingdom on the world stage if they're to repudiate an international agreement that they signed up to and that they negotiated. So it may be yet again sabre-rattling from Boris Johnson, and you may be falling for it, but it may not happen. What happens then?
And of course, they did sign up for it. They did negotiate it, but it remains the case that it needs fixed, and we will judge them on their actions and not just on their words.
And what happens if they don't go ahead with what they're threatening?
Well, it is their responsibility. And let me just say here, in terms of breaking up the international agreements point that you have made, well, in fact, if you look at the protocol, Article 16 is in there as a safeguard. Article 14 allows for a renegotiation. So there are ways that this can be dealt with and that it remains the legal and right thing to do. But ultimately, this needs resolved. Everybody realises that there are issues and that there are problems here. So we need to get on and we need to fix it.
But I just wonder, what do you want? Because we had the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, on this station yesterday, and he is saying the EU has been flexible. They have put forward a paper with an 80% reduction of the checks that are there, and they say that's not the end of it. They could go even further. The only stumbling block is that they have no partner to negotiate with. So what do you want? What exactly do you want? Spell it out for us.
Well, we've made it clear, and we've set 7 tests that we believe need to be met. But essentially, what we want to see is the restoration of Northern Ireland's place within the UK internal market. We're currently in the situation right now, and I can give you examples of people that have come to me in recent days. Someone that wanted to bring a piece of agricultural machinery from Great Britain into Northern Ireland wasn't able to do so because the paperwork was causing too much hassle. People that are, and we heard evidence in the House of Lords yesterday about how one supermarket is having difficulties bringing goods from Great Britain into Northern Ireland, and it's taking 20 workers 8 hours to sort out one consignment.
So you want the protocol scrapped altogether, is that right?
Well, it absolutely needs to be replaced because it is not working for the people of Northern Ireland.
So then if you do that, we heard Mara Sefcovic on this programme yesterday saying if that happens, the North will lose its access to the single market. Is that what you want?
sorry, our single market is the UK. Internal market,
you know what I mean,
is
the European
biggest.
Union single market. You would lose on access. Is that what you want?
But this is an important point, is that is not our market. It's not our principal market. The UK internal market is by far our most important market. So why on earth
do
we want...
You are the economy minister. You are comparing a market of 60 million people to a market of 500 million people. I mean...
hang on a second. It's not just about the populations of those areas. It's where we do trade with. And it's by far our largest market. It's where we do the most trade with. It's our most important market.
You don't care if you lose access to the European single market, do you not?
Well, I want to have the ease of access to as many markets as we can have.
You want your cake and eat it. That's a problem, isn't it?
First and foremost, we want to protect our UK internal market. If others are bringing in to play this issue of additional borders elsewhere, well, that's for them. But for us, we're clear first and foremost. We need to make sure that we have access to our UK internal market.
And that's primary for you. So let me ask you this then, because I'm sure you have considered it in the party, the DUP. If you are to scrap the protocol, if you got that as a success... Where would, and you want to retain, as you say, all markets, so access to the single market in the European Union, where do you think the EU checks should be?
Well, look, we have already said that if goods are coming from Great Britain into Northern Ireland and their destination is the Republic of Ireland, well, checks can happen at our ports. I believe that there's an arrangement that could be found where we could allow that to operate on behalf of the European Union. My concern is
where would the checks be? At the ports in the north? Or?
Well, yes, we have said that before. We think that that's a common sense way of ensuring that goods that are coming from Great Britain into Northern Ireland and remaining in Northern Ireland are not subject to any checks. But if something is coming from Great Britain and is using Northern Ireland as passageway through to the Republic of Ireland and therefore the EU single market, well, that's one way in which that we can ensure the protection of the EU single market.
Well, I think an awful lot of people will be scratching their heads thinking that that is what's happening already and that's what you're going against. Can I ask you one final question?
Sorry, no, hang on. I don't think anybody will be scratching their heads at that. Anybody with a knowledge and understanding of how things work know that our issue is the fact that all goods that are going from Great Britain and into Northern Ireland and staying in Northern Ireland are currently subject to the paperwork, the checks, and eventually the charges. That's where our issue lies, and that's what we want to get sorted.
Okay, Acting Economy Minister Gordon Lyons of the DUP, thank you very much indeed.